I hope you enjoy the talk. Today I'm going to tell you about the gas inflows and outflows in ultra-luminous infrared galaxies at CF about 0.1. Perhaps you have not heard about ultra-luminous infrared galaxies before, aka ULIRG, but literally you can understand it that they're just galaxies that are ultra-luminous at the infrared band. Look at this plot. It shows the luminosity densities of the three different kinds of galaxies in terms of the wavelengths. The topmost red one is one of the ULIRGs. Obviously, it has like 10 times more luminosity than the M82, which is a typical starburst galaxy in the infrared band. But before that, before digging into the ULIRGs, let's look at some exciting things, galaxy mergers. What a magnificent scene in the universe. In our universe, like it's likely that every galaxy in the universe are going to experience once merging with another galaxy in the universe. For example, our Milky Way galaxy is going to merge with the Andromeda in about 4 billion years in the future. But what happens that when galaxies merge together? When they collide, the gravitational torque drives the gas inward, which makes the gas density at the center of the galaxies rise. When it rises, the star formation becomes faster, and thus the galaxy becomes more luminous. If it happens to, they happen to have enough gas that the star formation rate is high enough and the galaxy becomes luminous enough, it becomes ultra-luminous, then the galaxy merger becomes a ULIRG. Look back to that. But why does ULIRGs why are ULIRGs ultra-luminous, particularly in the infrared band? Look at here. The ULIRG seems to have the luminosity density peak at the wavelength about 60 microns. Recall from the Wien's displacement law, if you put a 60 micron into the formula, and we will get that the source of the radiation is about 50 kelvins from the absolute zero, which is so cold. Which is so cold. It can't be any star-like things. Guess what? The radiation comes from the dust. The thing is, the mechanism is, when the star formation gets intense, more and more dust comes from the stars and the supernovae in the mergers, and when the dust surrounds the merger, it blocks the light from the inside, and it gets heated. When the equilibrium is about 20 kelvins to 60 kelvins, and the back body radiation of that is just sitting in the infrared band. Okay, let's talk about how we process the data. The data we collect is from the ESI at CAC2 Observatory at Hawaii. Here I pick one of the ULIRGs as an example, the IRAS-11905. The direct photo is on the left. When observing, we put a metal plate on the telescope, but only leaving a narrow but long slit on it so that we only allow the light from the target to pass into the telescope. And the light goes through a prism and was dispersed into different wavelengths. You can see the central black horizontal line is the light dispersed from the galaxy. But what are the black strips, vertical ones here? they're just the emission lines from the atmosphere, and we don't need them. So we reduce them using astronomical software, and then we get this pure Euler data. Why is this shaking? And the next step is we want to crush the 2D spectrum into 1D spectrum so that we can numerically fit it. The thing we do is just crushing. We sum together the vertical values at the same wavelength, and we get the raw data here. We have already found something. This is the helium emission line here, and here is the sodium absorption line here. But we would like to process data in normalized spectrum, but we would rather not process in this with units. So we fit the continuum lines on left and on right, and divide the whole spectrum using the continuum, and we finally get the normalized flux. Here we have already fit the spectrum using the Levenberg-Marquardt method. In the model, we have helium emission lines and one systemic component and one Doppler component. Systemic component means it is reasonable to guess there is a cloud of gas sitting still at the center of the galaxy. So there we put a systemic component there to fit. And the Doppler component is just the gas outflow or inflow we are hoping to find. Here we see that the Doppler shift has some blue shift from the rest frame. So it's an outflow. But then why is blue shift means outflow? Look at this drawing. The light from the center of the galaxy is continuum. When it passes through the gas and reach the Earth, if the gas here is an outflow, it is moving toward Earth, and by Doppler effect, it is then blue shifted. Why don't we consider the gas here? Because the light from here, if it wants to pass to travel to the Earth, but it is blocked by the center of the galaxy. All the light behind the center of the galaxy are absorbed by center. So we don't have any information behind the center of galaxy. Therefore, blue shift means gas outflow and vice versa. Red shift means gas inflow. With our results, we have already fitted 33 Eulers. First thing we want to do is to compare the fitted velocity of the gas flow versus its standard deviation. This graph is just want to show the whole thing, but it's focused at the head. If the velocity is less than 3 sigma, we think it's not a strong evidence of gas inflows or outflows, so we consider them as net flow. And all the 28 galaxies left are considered as either has inflows or outflows. And the result is they're not evenly distributed. 25 of them are outflows, and only 3 of them are inflows. But the galaxies, the Eulers, are randomly picked. So this is a result which is consistent with Martin 2005. But at that time, in that paper, she only analyzed 18 Eulers. Here's 28 samples there. Okay. This is the works I've done so far. In the future, we can dig more into the science by use Monte Carlo method to estimate error, which does a better job than the Levenberg-Marquardt method. Secondly, and this is also the goal we start from the starting, compare the strength of the absorption with the dust column densities in the Eulers. In theory, if there is more dust in the Euler, then less photons are allowed to pass through it and reach the gas, which means the gas is less ionized and we would see more absorption in our observation. Okay. I want to thank Professor Martin and Stephanie Ho, who helped me a lot and are very kind. I've got to add this slide. Any questions? This thing?
Yeah.
No, exactly, but there must be some emission or absorption things. But look at this. These things are, it looks very good as black body radiations, but these are, must be some emissions there.
Actually, emission from really small grains.
Wow.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
On your spectrum,
yeah,
you just had the sodium absorption was labeled as one line. Is that Doppler splitting or?
Sorry, can you speak again?
Or at least before this or somewhere, it was labeled as just sodium one. That absorption feature was just labeled as one.
Yeah.
Is that a Doppler splitting of that absorption feature?
Doppler splitting? This is a. Okay, so look at the red line here. The sodium one absorption actually is a doublet. It has two peaks, as you can see here, because of some quantum mechanics. Yeah. But here we're actually fitting two components. The second component is too wide, and the doublet seems as a singlet, but it's actually also a doublet.
Thank you, everyone.